Welcome to Emotional Sobriety, the next step in recovery with Dr. Alan Berger and Tom Rutledge.
Absence makes the heart grow fond, and it's so great to have both Alan and Tom with us today. And we're going to be, our theme will be learning from our mistakes. The nutshell wisdom of the day from Tom is sometimes it just doesn't get done. As my life has gotten more complicated, I've tried to take on more things, more relationships, more artistic projects, more freelance work. You know, sometimes I'm met with the reality that I can't do all the things I set out to do. You know, I fiercely, you know, I try to hold on and I pursue my goals as far as my battery will take me. But sometimes that battery falters and I'm not able to do it. And when I read your nutshell, Tom, it just jumped out at me because it's what you're, and I want to hear you expound on it. But, you know, sometimes you got to cut bait. It just, and that's okay.
Maybe it just doesn't get done right now. Maybe I need to loosen up my expectations and realize I just need to do what's in front of me and just do that. And we'll see what, you know, one of my favorite things to say with that one is just, we'll see. It's like, you know, we're not going to have a result all the time. And for those of us who have a very highly critical self-critical mind, you know, we tend to evaluate ourselves very, very strictly like that. And it's sometimes it just doesn't get done. Really feels to me like a bit of a shrug that just says, you know, it's okay. You know, just keep going.
You know, this gives us another chance to look at what our expectations are.
Yeah.
And I know for me, you know, as we've been discussing this, that emotional sobriety is an appropriate and honest relationship with reality. I guess another way to say that is an accurate alignment with reality. Sometimes things just don't get done. Sometimes reality is the best I can do is to get things started and not complete them on this day. Now, that's fine if I don't have the expectation that I should finish everything I start. See, if I have the expectation I should finish everything I start, then what's going to happen when I don't? I'm going to
feel
bad.
Well, and there are a lot of things we don't have control of. So
there's no room for us to have a human experience, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, the rule becomes the decider, if you will. It becomes the standard that we're holding ourselves to. And oftentimes these
rules. That's great. The rule becomes the measure.
Yeah, right. It becomes the measure, not us. I mean,
wow.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
And is that when I do that to myself, and I do that, look, you know, we talk all the time about we're constantly learning this stuff as we go along. It's not like we got this stuff wired. I mean, we're discovering, we're on the path of discovery too. And and that's really true. When I make the rule more important than my experience, I am leaving myself out. I'm essentially dismissing myself from my life.
Bingo. That's good.
And that's a big problem, man, because I, you know, when I throw myself away, you know, that's a problem, just like when I experience somebody else doing it. But I'll tell you, I think it's back to this thing. If I didn't throw myself away, if you threw me away, it wouldn't bother me so much.
Is oh, absolutely.
What I'm doing to myself is what you're doing to me, then that resonates. That has a deep resonance in my soul in a certain way that really gets me in touch with what I'm doing to myself that needs to be cleaned up. And this is why we say when we're upset about something, there's always an opportunity to learn. And, you know, that kind of segues into what the other major theme of our talk was today, right? Which is learning from our mistakes. I love that quote that you have about God, Tom, about God. There's no
God doesn't flunk anyone, but he sure gives a lot of retests.
I mean, look at that, man. That captures it in a nutshell. Oh, my God. God doesn't flunk anyone, but we get a lot of retests.
Well, now, we need, and the essence of that and of the whole theme of what we're talking about today is it's not to not have expectations of ourselves like we were talking about expectations, but have reasonable expectations of ourselves. And reasonable expectations need to be, am I doing my work? Am I doing Scott no no Sheldon Kopp, wonderful therapist, wrote a book called, I think, Back to One. It's like he what he would say about therapy was, but it's true about any conversation we have. He says our job is not about results. It is to do impeccable work. I loved his language about that, and that's what this is. It's not to say I've got to do this a certain way or let myself judge the outcome right now. I just need to do the best I can.
I love what you said is that we get so focused on the outcome,
Yeah.
is that we judge ourselves on the outcome and we forget that it's really about focusing on the process.
Right.
Not that the outcome isn't important, it's just that we need to make the process greater than the outcome, than our focus on
Well,
the
and we also don't ha we you know this is where the, you know I'm a it's a pet peeve of mine lately, but it's the hindsight is the best insight. It's like we can be pretty arrogant thinking we know what the outcome is supposed to be or needs to be, maybe. But how many times have we had an experience where a few days or weeks or longer go by and we realize something that we thought was a mess really turned out to be for the best?
Talking about this, it brings me back, like so many things in recovery, to the Serenity Prayer. Change the things I can, accept the things I can't, and with the clarity comes a better understanding of where there is room to change things and where matters have solidified and you can't go any further. And I think learning from mistakes is realizing when you're looking at a wall, stop bashing that wall with a sledgehammer. You're not going to get through it.
Or
try to
your head,
yeah, or my head.
yeah.
And God, like that is something that I've gotten better at with time. And I didn't think I would. I think that I have one of the benefits if we're lucky enough to get older is you've got a litany of failures to look at to help you to better measure for whatever the next endeavor is.
Well, and we can do that with humor, but I think it's also one of the best takeaways of this theme is the idea is learn from our mistakes. I have plenty of material to work with. We all do. And we can, and see, and I always just want people, I'm the first one to laugh, but it's that's also real information. It means that we've already got enough information from the lives we've lived to keep ourselves busy for the rest.
I've got an idea. I think I'm gonna go back after we're done recording. I'm gonna open up my LinkedIn and I'm just gonna put my failures at the top. And everybody should know just how I'm like a PhD at this point.
Well, would it, but see, we laugh about it, but boy, it really is our mistakes don't define us. What defines us is what we do with them
How we respond,
and
man,
how
that's
we
it.
respond to them. How do I process my mistake? Look, when we look at what interferes with learning, in psychology, they talk about the learning curve, right? What does that learning curve look like? Well, it's rarely a straight line. I mean, it's just that's a fallacy. I mean, nobody just starts to acquire any kind of a skill or knowledge by just, starting at the top of the mountain. You don't start at the top. You have to climb up the mountain. And the issue is what do we experience as we climb? And this is where some of this stuff starts tying together. And when I make a mistake, see, if I take that personally, and now we're going to tie in this thing that I heard one of Herb's students in one of his classes said, I've realized I've come to the point where I take reality personally. And we all smiled when he said that because every one of us could relate to that. So if I take my mistake personally as though it's a reflection of my inadequacy, of being less than, of that I'm defective, then what's going to happen? Am I going to be able to learn from that? No.
As
I'm going
a good point, as opposed to just it's information.
to. It's in that's what you've I've heard you say this so many times, Tom, is every experience has information in it. It's not good or bad. It's just information. Information is just data.
Because you and I have been talking, Alan, on a fairly regular basis these days about being offended by reality, which
Yeah.
I like the phrase because it puts it right in our face. You're offended by reality. You know,
Really?
that's a problem. It's like,
That is
and it's not reality's problem. That's my
a
problem.
problem. That's right. We'd like to blame reality, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
God, if
well, we
things
do.
just,
We do
I
blame
know, we do
reality.
blame reality. I know, that's how crazy this gets. I mean, we do. My God.
That's right. If this hadn't happened to me, then I would be fine.
Oh my God. See, I when you brought that up as a corollary of that idea, I'm okay if. The other
Yeah.
part of it is I'm okay. I'd be okay if this
If
didn't happen.
this hadn't happened, yeah.
Is
Yeah.
another version. It's another, theme on that same,
We're
issue.
unconsciously trying to let ourselves off the hook. And it's like and we don't need we
Yeah.
don't the opposite of that is not beating the crap out of ourselves. It's just catching ourselves, just going like, no, this is it's my responsibility here.
Well, we have an uncanny way of putting ourselves on the hook when we're trying to get off it. I mean, it's so true.
Oh,
You know, it's such an we have such an ability, because you're right. I think when you said that, that's probably some of the what's motivating ourselves to externalize the blame, right?
right.
Instead of me blaming myself, if I blame a circumstance, then I can somehow come out of this okay. And it's we never the part of us that's doing that never has the strategy. Well, maybe I'd be more okay if I just learned from this. If I didn't judge myself, is that I should know
Wow.
better. Or,
Yeah.
I could start to grow myself and really develop into what I can be.
I wrote down the phrase running from self-blame. What I'm thinking about is when we're saying right now is, wait a minute, if we look closely enough, what's my primary goal? If I really look at what I'm doing, it is sometimes it is, it doesn't have to be blatant, but sometimes it's avoiding blame
Yeah.
and maybe even to myself. You know,
Yep. Right. That's
I
true.
just, you know, the truth is we get so focused on avoiding blame that we're going to miss those opportunities for that information.
Two sides of the coin, right? As people blame themselves for everything, which is unproductive, and then those who don't accept no blame for anything at all. And the kind of Goldilocks scenario, you receive failure and you redirect it into a constructive forward-thinking mode
Right.
where, you know, when I encounter this issue again, I'm not going to repeat the same mistake, you know, do better next time, right?
We may not learn from the first several times we make a mistake.
Right.
If we have faith that each time we make a mistake, even if we're not conscious of the learning, learning is taking place if we don't interfere with it. It's like a child who's learning to walk. When they fall, they're not conscious of what their brain is doing with that information. Their brain has just processed all kinds of information about what do I need to do to be more successful in walking?
Right. Oh,
And
that's beautiful because there's no blame either way. There's no
no,
self-blame. There's no other blame. It's like that
it's
kid
just
hadn't learned about
experience.
blame.
They're not blaming. They're
just
just
is information.
it's just is information. We later on get in the way of that with our consciousness, but at that point, our consciousness doesn't contain that information, that part of us, that should monster that Tom talks
Yeah.
about, or top dog, or the bully, or I was watching this Netflix documentary, which is really worth watching, called Stutz, and he calls it Part X. He calls it Part X. He says as soon as Part X shows up, and he takes a very different approach than like IFS says. Part X is there to protect you. He might agree with that, but he says Part X is there to sabotage your life. He says you got to deal with it, and you got to quit listening to Part X because it's not helping you.
Right.
It's what you said. We keep listening to these parts thinking we're going to get some help. Are they ever helpful? I mean, you
Well,
know.
and that's another thing we could probably do a whole nother theme on, which is intentions. The intentions of these saboteurs are, as you and I know in our experience in our training as therapists, they're almost always, if not always, positive. You know, They're just, you know, and to that point, I want to, you guys are helping me write new nutshells today, but it's like what Patrick said is I want to learn from my mistakes and not make the same mistake twice. But what I wrote down underneath that is based on what you said, Alan, was no, I'm going to make a different mistake now. And that's perfectly okay. That's more information.
I also wanted to add or ask you guys, we need to create space to grieve the mistake or the loss, or, you know, part of learning is you need to take that breath to really read the terrain. And I think, like, for me, so many examples of just like not wanting to sit with anything and just wanted to blow right through it just to get into action. But if an action when you're not, you know, properly rooted and informed can be treacherous. So,
Yeah, but you don't want to take forever. You know,
right.
I mean, there are some things that are going to take them longer to grieve than others. Sometimes you, it's, and I think this really hooks back into the idea of our making a goal of making sure that we're not being offended by reality. It's like this, the things we're talking about happens to everybody. It's like it's not us, and if even if we think it happens more to us than other people, I mean, I don't know how to measure that, but I don't think that's right. I think this is what we're describing is the human condition, and
What I was thinking of, just to your point, is and not grieving too long, is heartbreak. I used to take heartbreak so severely when I was just starting out and I fell in love for the first couple times. And the, you know, because I had no prior experience, I had no knowledge that you could break your heart and you could grieve that experience and then you could pick yourself up and fall in love again. You know, that there are more than one or two people in the world. I think that's an observable fact. But like, but you know, at 40 years old, as compared to what, you know, like 16 or 17 years old, you know, like I understand now when I've seen examples of like younger people going to older people and you know, venting about their heartbreak, and you just see that little twinkle in the older person's eyes because they've gone through so much disappointment. And they've been through the roller coaster with that. And guess what? It didn't kill them. You know, they may have thought it was going to kill them at the time, but it didn't.
No, the little scene that showed up in my head was just that I just cast the play with you and me and it, Patrick, but you're sitting there with heartbreak and telling me about heartbreak, and I come by and say, okay, well, pick up your heartbreak and come with me. We're going to run some errands. You know, in other words, it's you can take it with you. It's like it's, nobody that you don't because that if because I think you and I are very much alike that we can sit in it for way longer than it's productive.
Well, that's the issue is finding that balance between being able to be with it and learn from it and then let it go. See, that letting go is as important. A lot of people won't let themselves be with it.
Say
So
those three things again, Adam, because those are
it's
so
so
important.
important to be with it, but to find balance so that when we're with it, once we learn the lesson, we let it go
Love it.
so that we can move on to what's next.
I
Because
love
it's
that.
not, and we stay stuck in it. And this is where I do think being offended by reality comes in. Why me? Why did this happen to me? Why this isn't the way life should be? As soon as I start to bring in those ideas, I am going to create a lot of trouble for myself. I really am. I'm going to miss the lesson. I'm going to be so focused on why me and self-pity? I'm going to miss the important information that that experience is offering me.
Stay present. Yeah. Now that's beautiful.
It's such a challenge, man. It really is. But you know, I was thinking about when we were talking about this a minute ago. I can just hear there's a guy out there that's been hit by electricity like three times by thunder, right? And he's saying, you guys are crazy. Why am I the guy that gets hit three times by lightning? What's going on? There's something going on here.
Well, maybe he's special. Maybe he's just a gifted person, and you know, it's actually a positive. It may hurt like hell, but God's trying to tell him
It does
something.
hurt. I don't want to experience it, by the way, but I can imagine he's out there going, oh shit, I gotta watch the weather, man. I can't be around any kind of
No,
thunderstorm.
but that's all. That's also. But we don't all.
That's taking reality
That's
personally.
another piece about the bigger picture. We're not going to have if we're waiting around for an explanation of everything. you
That's
know,
right. Good luck. Right? Yeah.
we're gonna get way behind. It's like
Well, if you're
I'm
back to
assuming that when I
sometimes,
die, they're gonna give me all the answers.
well,
I
there's
don't,
a
I, you know.
corollary to your nutshell today is sometimes we're not going to understand what's going on.
Exactly.
That's a
Oh,
corollary
beautiful.
of what you were
Yep, yep,
saying.
yep, yep, yep.
Sometimes, no matter what, we're just not going to be. And is it necessary? I think that that's, you know, there was an interesting discussion among psychotherapists that the evolution of psychotherapy treatment, or evolution of psychotherapy at the conference that I went to, they were discussing how people approach psychotherapy and for change. And one of the discussions was, is first of all, this one therapist, and I think it was, it might have been Jay Haley or it might have been Erickson. He would say to his patient, he says, look, you know, before we embark on this process of changing things in your life, I want to ask you a few questions about change and your relationship to it. When you change, do you want to be aware of it or would you rather not be?
Ah,
Interesting question, isn't it?
yes.
I want it to stay a surprise.
Well, some people do, and which is an interesting thing. And how somebody answers that is interesting. Do you want to be aware that change is taking place, or would you just like it to happen without being too thoughtful about it? Now, I know for the person who likes to get a hold of something and just chew it up to death, probably changing without being aware of what's happening would be an a very good experiment for them, right? Because they'd have to develop the other side of them, the part of letting go and not holding on to everything, not having to figure everything out. Do I need to figure everything out to be okay? Maybe not.
Well, I mean, I love how we pinball off of each other's with that stuff. It's like, because my immediate thought when you said, "Do you want to know?" is, you know, I mean, it was depends. It depends on
Yeah,
the
that's right.
circumstance,
There you
and I
go.
also was going to assume that there are going to be sometimes that I'm going to experience both, you know,
Yep.
and so that, but so I like the idea when somebody asks a question like that, the most important part of it is not even asking my preference, is pointing out that there are two different, here's two different ways this may come about, and
Yeah.
I need to be open to both of those.
What do you think about it ending with the tip of the day?
Well, I think the tip of the day would be based on the theme that we have is that look, it's so important to get out of your way and learn from your experience. Don't focus on what's wrong with you. Focus on what you can do to become who you want to be, right? That's the big thing is how can we use our
Is it?
experience to continue to enhance our development and not interfere with or diminish it.
That's it. If you want to measure, because we are very programmed apparently to want to measure ourselves, ask yourself the question, am I learning from this? And not just what did I learn, but am I learning? It's a
I learned.
process. It's
Yeah.
like that. And because to me, I love that idea that my job as a human being is to be learning, because every day, regardless of how well I do or don't do, I have the opportunity to learn. So I can have a successful day by that measure, no matter what.
When people say get out of your own way, that can get a little confusing, right? Because, you know, we're directing the flow of traffic sometimes, and you know, when do we stay in? When do we get
Yeah,
out?
but I think mostly it means we think too damn much.
Yeah, it can be. Some thinking can be productive, but you know, when we get into it and ruminating over it, rarely do I find somebody getting something over that. Usually they're doing that because they're feeling bad.
Yeah, we're wasting some time and energy.